You know, I don't think anybody can just wake up and be like, okay, I'm going to manage my time absolutely perfect this week. You know, I think it's something that you have to kind of gradually grow into, because, you know, it can be a lot. It can be overwhelming, you know.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Yes I Am podcast. My name is Arman and I'm your host. Make sure to follow our Instagram at YIA_YesIAM. Yes I Am founded in 2019 with a mission to build a generation of extraordinary leaders and discomfort seekers. We create a community for OSU students to find their why and step out of their comfort zone. At Yes I Am, our why wakes us up every morning to seek discomfort. We wake up confident and inspired to work hard. We love what we do, we fail, we learn. We fail again, and we just keep learning. We go to bed at night knowing that today was better than yesterday, and tomorrow will be a brand new day. There's nothing we can do or be, because our why is stronger than any challenge. We are positive thinkers, we are givers, and we are very, very grateful. Yes I Am is our lifestyle, and we are Yes I Am. Welcome to Yes I Am podcast, everyone. We are very happy to be back. Today, our guest is Olivia, which goes by Ali. Just for the start, Ali, I want you to tell us a little bit about more yourself, who you are, and why you do what you do, and what are your passions?
Yeah, of course. My name's Olivia, or Ali, I'm not particular about it. And I'm currently at my second year at Oregon State right now. I'm majoring in psychology and minoring in communications. One of my biggest passions and why I'm doing what I'm doing is I want to be a funeral director in the future. That's why I'm majoring in psychology. I plan to go to mortuary school once I'm done with my bachelor's. And I really just want to help people in life. And I believe funeral directors and embalmers really face people when they're at their lowest low in their life, especially after losing a loved one. And, you know, I just really would love to help people in that sense.
That's very interesting. Where did this passion come from?
Well, so I was kind of just looking at like the future, like roadmap in my head. And, you know, I thought about, you know, I could always go to graduate school. I could always try and get my doctorate, become a therapist of some sort. But I was kind of crunching the numbers together and I was like, well, that's gonna be really expensive. And then so I started looking at the funeral director industry and I found a program. There's a mortuary school in Cincinnati and it's a 16-month program versus like another 4 years trying to get my master's and my doctorate. So just, it'll take less time and it'll also be quite a bit cheaper than trying to go that route.
That's very interesting. So I think one of my follow-up things I would like to know is, I think people will be very interested to know is, you know, think about your like childhood. Who will like a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, 12-year-old Ali would believe who Ali is today? Tell us a little bit about that. You know, what were you thinking then?
Oh man. Honestly, like if I could go back and tell my 10-year-old self, like, hey, this is what I'm planning on doing now, like my 10-year-old self would not believe me. Like, so originally, you know, like when I was in middle school, I was in band all throughout high school. And, you know, I did what a lot of band kids want to do. It's like, oh, I'm going to major in music. Like, I'm going to do music performance. And so that was kind of like a really big goal of mine. But then, you know, as I started getting into my junior and senior year of high school, I was all like, well, maybe that's not the most realistic thing for me. And so it's definitely a big difference than what I thought I would have been doing.
Yeah, interesting. You know what I want to like mention, Ali, is when I was personally 16 year old, I was in Iran, the country I'm from. I did not necessarily know what's going to be next, but I really felt that right now, where am I? There's something weird about it. You know, there's something weird about it. And my dad, this whole time, he was like kind of whispering that like, hey, you know, you gotta go study abroad. And I did not know why, you know. I did not know why at the time that why should I go study abroad. And it took me a good amount of time to figure out what was the whole point of coming to the United States. But when I think about it right now, you know, there was a very great reason. And like, you know, I think about what I've been achieving right now and what I've been doing these days. I always, when I call my dad, I tell them that I'm very grateful. I'm grateful that this was the path I got into instead of the path that I did not know even what it is. So what I want to say maybe is there is a reason that you're in this path that you are right now. And you know, you for sure, I know just a little bit of you because a little bit about you since last time we talked. And there is something about people that are in ESIM that I really feel, and there are members, they're very driven. They have a drive, they have a passion, and they want to be someone, you know? And I saw that in you, and that was the reason I told my team we should invite Ali. So now that you told me about your past, this is be optimistic about this question, and just think about let's say even say more than 10 years from now, more than if you want to imagine that day 10 to 20 years from now. Who will Ollie be then?
Who will I be? Yeah. Okay, well, I just want to say thank you for your kind words like that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. So I just want to say thank you. Who will I be? That's a really tough question. Honestly, I just really hope I'm helping people in 10 to 20 years. You know, like I completely expect, you know, myself to get married at some point. You know, I expect myself to start a family at some point. You know, that those are life goals. And, you know, I really hope the person I am, you know, is a good partner, is a good mother. But like at the end of the day, you know, whatever occupation I'm doing, whatever, you know, like role I'm playing in society, I just really hope I continue to help people and continue to just be a good person to other people.
That's a very great goal to have. So then let me ask you this, because you talked about the family, and mm-hmm. I remember we talked about this in one of our podcasts previously. So let's say this is your 80th birthday. This is your 80th birthday. And you get a letter from your kid, you know?
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking this question, because I want you to tell us to like, and like build that vision and dream for yourself from starting on. So you, when you get to 80 year old, that will happen. So what do you want that letter that your kid will give you for your birthday? And it's all about your the mom. What do you want that letter says? You know, what do they want? Why I want them to know about you and know you?
Well, so first things first, you know, when I decide to have kids in my future, you know, I never want my kids to doubt, you know, that I didn't teach them the right things. You know, I feel very fortunate that, you know, my dad especially, my dad, ever since, you know, quarantine started, my dad has been so helpful. He's been teaching me so much about like life skills and like just many other skills, like, you know, like taxes and like all that stuff that I've never learned before. And, you know, like the best thing that I would want for my kids is just to prepare them for life and also just to teach them, you know, like the the morals of society and, you know, like treating people with respect and kindness, like that, as long as my kids in the future are a really good person, as long as I've taught them everything to be really good people in society and to others, like that's really all I can ask for.
That's a very good one. I was watching this video about why do we not teach our kids in high school and middle school. And it was a lot like about like, we don't really teach the kids about how to do taxes, how to really live in this life, you know, how to deal with problems, how to negotiate, how to just discuss. Because one of the things that we are missing in these days that I think you can agree with me that we don't necessarily know how to have a discussion. Because as soon as we start having a discussion, it turns to an argument, you know, and that's something that we've been not taught in our high school. So it's very great that you want to teach that to your kids. I mean, I'm pretty sure kids will be proud of their mom. I'm pretty sure they will be. You know, you're starting at this young age right now, and you will be building something big when you grow, for sure. And let me ask you this. I usually, before any time we have a podcast, I would like to do a little bit of research about the guests to kind of get to know them a little bit more. And yeah. I found a Facebook post that was from your, I think, and they're talking about that you are doing the OSU-CG, and then you're doing you're also working on Casket. You are also taking a lot of classes, and they're like very inspired and encouraged by the way you manage to do all of this kind of great stuff. How do you do that?
Oh man, yeah, it's a lot of organization and time management. Yeah, you're right. I did Oregon State's Color Guard last year. And then I was also part of an independent Color Guard organization up in Ridgefield, Washington. And it was just a lot of planning. Cause so when I was especially like rehearsing with the independent organization, their name's Cascadia, so I'll just go by Cascadia. I had to leave Corvallis Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and I had to be to Ridgefield, Washington by 7 o'clock. And then I'd have rehearsal till around midnight. And then on Saturday, I'd have about a 12-hour rehearsal. And then on Sunday, I wouldn't leave Washington until like 6 o'clock. So a lot of it was just getting my work done ahead of the weekend. And, you know, I look back on it now and it's like, I get a lot of my homework done on the weekend, you know, like for this term, and it's just like, wow, I really did that. But you know, I can't give myself all the credit. I had a really good friend of mine who, he was also, doing color guard with me as well. You know, he would let me use his hotspot, like as we were driving up on our way to Washington, cause it's like a 2-hour drive. And so like, you know, it was just a lot of time management and kind of planning out my schedule. You know, like if I had more course load on one day or one week, you know, like I'd really have to just like kind of look at my schedule and see what days I can just balance a heavier course load as long as I get it done before the weekend. That was just always my goal. But it was definitely a lot. I'm not gonna lie. And I'm not gonna lie, I definitely struggled with it at some points. Looking back on it now, like it's just insane to think I did that.
I was very inspired by when I read that post. You know, one of the things I hear a lot when I talk to some people is, I don't have time, you know, like there's not much time to do stuff. And then I see what you've been doing above with this 24 hour doing all this great stuff. Why is it? And what is it about you that you have time and some people don't have time? And like, You know, it's just very interesting. So if you can, if you want to elaborate more on that, you know, like how does time work?
Well, so I'll be honest with you. I feel like this type of time management has always just been a part of me. Because so I started marching band in the eighth grade. And, you know, marching bands, high school marching bands, everyone's different. But, you know, the one I was at, they rehearsed like 3 to 4 times a week. So that automatically doing that from eighth grade to my senior year of high school, like that automatically kind of just put this like time management skill into me because, you know, once I did get to high school, you know, I started taking honors classes, you know, I was a part of speech and debate. Like, you know, we were still rehearsing, you know, 4 times a week. And it was just like, it honestly just got really just installed in my brain. I definitely think it's a life skill. And I also think it's something that you kind of learn to do. You know, I don't think anybody can just wake up and be like, okay, I'm going to manage my time absolutely perfect this week. You know, I think it's something that you have to kind of gradually grow into because, you know, it can be a lot. It can be overwhelming, you know. I watched a TED Talk video on this last year about how you have to train yourself to focus. You gotta like learn how to focus for minutes to hours at a time. And I think just over the years that just really, really got instilled in me.
You know, one other thing I want to follow up with that, it's definitely true. Time management and, you know, figuring out what to do with your time is definitely a life skill. It's something that I have, you don't, it's not something that you've been born with. It's just something that you will learn in your time or you choose to learn, you know, because I feel like any life skill, you got to choose to learn it. It's not something that they just, one day you wake up and it's right there. You pick it up, you put it in your brain and like, okay, now I have that skill. So you got to choose to learn it. At the same time, you know, I feel like, I don't know, I want to ask you, the other reason that would help you to prioritize your time the way that you can do all of this great stuff is because you were you loving what you've been doing, you know, every single one of them?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Like, oh, man, like, the minute that, oh, man, not even the minute I started marching band, the minute I, you know, started band in the fifth grade, like, I loved it. And then, you know, once I got into marching band, it just, that love just absolutely grew greater. And it wasn't even just marching band. I was a part of just about every ensemble that you could be at, you know, like at my high school. Yeah. And it just, it was such a big passion for me. And, you know, like as I went throughout high school, I found that speech and debate was also a really big passion for me. And, you know, I definitely think that's instilled, you know, like why I'm minoring in communication. But it just, when you love something, I definitely think you'll make time for it. And, you know, I feel like that's a really cheesy quote that people use for their relationships, but I definitely think that it can apply to what you're doing too. You know, did I struggle when I was time managing all this at points? Yes, absolutely. But I don't regret it. I wouldn't go back to the past and change any of it, no matter how much I struggled, you know, just because it has shaped me into who I am today. And, you know, the experiences I've had from all the things I've been doing, they've been some of the best experiences that I could have ever, you know, hoped to have in middle school and high school and college. And I'm really grateful for it. And I wouldn't change anything about it.
You know, yeah, you just nailed it. You know, if I think I said it in all of our podcasts, if when you love what you're doing and you know why you're doing what you're doing and something that you love it, you absolutely would give time to it. You know, if in the morning you want to wake up and do something you love, you're not going to snooze your alarm because you want to wake up.
Yeah.
You know, you want to wake up. So you won't snooze it. You know, you only snooze it when it's that 8 a.m. class, it's a lab, and you just don't like that class. you don't want to get up for that class, but you want to get up for what you love, for what you have passion on.
Yeah.
That's very true. You talked about struggling. You talked about, although you build a skill, there was times that what you were struggling. So in your whole journey till now, if you want to pick one challenge, one big challenge that you faced in your life, and one big challenge that you faced in your life, and it took you some time to figure it out, but you figured it out, what would it be? And how did you figure it out?
Oh man. Honestly, so last winter term, I was doing color guard with Cascadia, and that winter term was like academically the hardest term I've taken, so originally when I got admitted to OSU, I was majoring in marine biology. And, I thought this was my passion. I thought I was going to go through with it. Fall term was great. I felt really solid about it. But then I got to winter term and I was taking, Gen Chem, and like I was taking another math class. And that was when I just really started struggling. I had to manage my time between doing color guard, and then I also had to manage my time to make sure I was academically successful in these classes. And, I wasn't always academically successful in the class. I'll be honest with you. I failed both the midterms for Gen Chem because it's a really difficult class. And I really wish I would have been more honest with myself and would have looked more at the curriculum when I decided to go into the marine biology route, because I always struggled with math in high school. I was like really bad at math in high school. And I really struggled with chemistry in high school as well. And, I really felt like I could have taken some actions to prevent, that struggling. I could have taken another chemistry class, or I could have just not skipped math my senior year, because I really disliked math because I was bad at it. So I just skipped it my senior year. And I really wish that I just would have prepared myself better for college. I switched my major. So, at the end of the day, I'm really happy where I'm at. And it really, I don't want to say doesn't matter that I struggle, because it does matter, because, it still reflects on my transcript and everything. But I really wish I just would have prepared myself more, just because it was a real, it challenged me a lot, and it definitely got the best of me sometimes. And oh man, if you were to ask my dad how many times I called him crying during winter term, the number is a little high, but.
I think if I want to pick one thing from what you said, is preparation. Whatever stage in our life we are at, we will know that this stage or this chapter will end one day, So successful people and people that are driven and people that are extraordinary like you, these people think about their next five moves, or let's say next five chapter, And they, while they're still in the current chapter, the current stage of their life, they start preparing and gaining the skills that they will need in the future chapters, And that's very important to, we always should think about, people say, okay, live at the moment. Yes, living at the moment is important, but at the same time, you should know what are your next five moves. And I learned this from Patrick and David. What are your next five moves? What do you want? What are you going to do next? Because if you don't know what you're going to do next, after you accomplish this, you're going to be miserable. You're going to say, okay, now I'm here. What's next? But if you know it and you already prepare for it, you're going to be ready, right?
Yeah. I definitely agree with you there. And, I definitely felt like last winter term was a really big learning experience for me. And I feel like I am a lot better at preparing myself now. And I'll use like the funeral, the mortuary license thing as an example. So there's a school in Cincinnati, and you know, it's like I was saying, it's a 2-year program. And I've already started looking at, you know, the prerequisites that I need to be admitted there and like all this stuff. And it'll just, it gives me a better idea of what classes, you know, besides my psych degree, of what I need to take, you know, to be admitted into that college and to, you know, be prepared. So I just, it was definitely a learning experience. And, you know, as my dad always says, you know, it's okay to fail in life as long as you learn from it. And I definitely have learned from my mistakes from last winter term, and I definitely plan to make a better future out of those mistakes. So
that I mean, your dad said very, very right. You know, if you won't fail in your life, then I don't know, maybe you're alien, because there's no way that you won't fail. You know, there's no way. You cannot just always check mark. There will be a moment, and if you won't fail, you won't learn. Because we learn from our failures and from our experiences. We call it an experience because we did not succeed, we did not accomplish something, but we learn from it, we gain something from it. And as I say, always say in our podcast, life has ups and downs, you know? In the low moment is a low moment, that's the failure. That's the failure, that's the time that we have that challenge and that time that we're like very down, our vibe is down, we don't know what to do. And then here is the game over. And then here is the, no game over. Take the lesson and take it and go off, you know? So I think that's what you've been doing. And that's such a great thing. Ollie, I feel like from this conversation, I think your dad had a very big impact in your life.
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, so yes, my dad has had a really big impact on my life, you know, especially once I moved back home because of COVID. You know, my dad's currently retired, but my mom is still working. And you know, my mom has to work full weeks a lot of the time, like 60-hour work weeks. It's insane. And I respect my mom so much for it because I don't know how she does it. But once I came back home, it was really just my dad and I, since my mom was at work. And, you know, when I came back home, you know, I went through what a lot of people probably also went through, you know, like the isolation, the moving back home, the not being around, you know, a bunch of people, not having that socialization that we're used to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad was kind of in the same boat. And so during this time, I was really just able to open up to my dad a lot and like really just talk about my feelings and like how I felt right now. And the thing I love about my dad and I's relationship is I can be honest with him, you know, like, and I really think honesty is one of the best traits you can have in any sort of relationship with anybody. And, you know, he's also honest with me about things. And like I said, you know, ever since last March when COVID started, like I've had to, you know, like go through some things. Like I'm currently in the process of getting a new used car because my Jeep doesn't want to drive anymore. And my dad has been just so helpful with me, you know, trying to find the right car, like figuring out the whole financial situation of it. And it's just, like I said earlier, my dad has taught me a lot of just great life skills in the past, like year, mm-hmm. ever since COVID started. And, you know, he's always been one of my greatest supporters when it comes to, you know, me performing and everything. Like it was so sweet. When he found out I joined OSU's color guard, he's just like, well, I'm going to need to get like the season tickets now to come watch you. And I'm just like, you're so sweet. Thank you. And so, yeah, I just, my mom, she's also a really great supporter too, but I spend a lot of time with my dad, and I definitely think that has really just strengthened our relationship.
Ollie, I want to give you this chance to right now say whatever you want to your mom and dad in this podcast. In a small phrase. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Say directly to them.
Say
directly to them.
Directly?
Directly. So when they watch it, they know it's for them.
Oh man. There's so much I could say. But thank you so much for all your support and love over the past few years. You know, you guys have put in just so much time, quite a bit of money, and just a lot of just dedication to my life the past 2 years. And what I am today, I wouldn't be me without your guys' love and support. It truly means the world to me. I feel so fortunate to have as loving parents as I do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you. They definitely are so proud of you. And one of the last things that we usually have, we would love to end this podcast with, is what is the biggest lesson you ever learned in your life?
Biggest lesson I've ever learned in life?
Yeah, so people can also know about it and probably they can apply it to your life too.
This sounds so simple, but I really think it goes a long way. But just being kind to everybody around you. You know, if I could go back in high school and, you know, or if I could go back and tell my high school self, you know, I'll be honest with myself, you know, not everybody is going to treat you right. And it hurts. Like, you know, you're taught that little say, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But like, no, that's not always the case. Words do hurt a lot sometimes. And, you know, your attitude can hurt somebody a lot sometimes. And there's not a day in my life that goes by where, like, I just want to be kind to everybody, because you truly never know what somebody's going through. And, you know, like, you see this, I feel like I'm stating, like, every single, like, Facebook post I see shared by people, but it's, like, you never know when it's going to be your last day with somebody, or it's going to be, like, the last text you send to somebody, or, you know, vice versa. And I really just want people to be kind to everybody, you know, even to strangers, like, because you truly never know what's going on in their world, especially today. You know, like, a lot of people are probably struggling right now. I don't even know why I'm saying probably. A lot of people are struggling right now. And, you know, one of the best things we can do is just be kind to each other.
Thank you so much, Ollie. It was such a meaningful, and it was a very, very great podcast, honestly. I think anyone that will watch this podcast will absolutely enjoy it, and they will gain a lot from this episode for sure. And as you know, the name of our organization is Yes, I Am. And the reason that is Yes, I Am, because you can put whatever you want in front of it, and you can be that person. So if you want, at the end, if you want to put something, a characteristic, or you can do even two, at the end of yes, I am what? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I will just play off what I answered to last question. Yes, I am kind to others.
Thank you, Ollie. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us today. It was very great. We're really grateful to have you in our podcast. And thank you for thank you everyone that watched this episode. I believe you enjoyed this episode. It was a very great episode. And as always, yes, I am.